Or Chaim, Tov, Samach, Beis, on the topic of May Peros. So there is a serious opinion. It seems to be Abai's opinion, as well as the Rishalmi's opinion at the end of the second parak, that May Peros creates Chimutz. However, Rava in our Gemara and the Yerushalmi in the beginning of the third parak are unequivocal that May Peros are not Machmitz. So first of all, how do you have Machlokas about whether or not May Peros is Machmitz or not? The answer is that May Peros definitely create some kind of reaction with flour. Tafcha, the bread definitely rises, but the Machlokas is whether or not this activity, this combustion, whatever it is, constitutes chimutz, or is it like serpent, like we saw from the Oruz and the Dochan. It is interesting that the Chok Yaakov quotes that there were some achronim who were machmer for this shita in the Amoraim and the Tanaim in this tradition. But that does not seem to be the mainstream opinion. The mainstream opinion is that May Peros do not create chimutz. What are May Peros? So, the Rambam told us that there are certain fruits, certain liquids, which create matzah ashira. And then the Rambam expanded that list to tell us May Peros. So May Peros will include dvash, it'll include May Rimonim, the Rambam said. The Gemara later, which we'll get to in a minute, on Daf Mem, when it was discussing the issue of the ifshuna, the toasted grains. Right? So the Gemara there assumes that the liquid which is extracted from this ifshuna, from this toasted grain, that constitutes May Peros. So May Peros are all of these liquids which are not water. Even though they may contain H2O, they are not liquid. That's what we spoke about in terms of the May Peros, the May Rimonim. It's like the Gemara says in Brachos, it's Zeya Ba'alma. It's not called water. It's called May Peros. And even the Magen Avraham pointed out at the beginning of Tav Samach Beis, even if you have a liquid which is extremely acidic, and that acidic quality, you would think, has this unbelievable power, and therefore it can be machmetz. Magen Avraham said against the Shulta Giborim that's quoted in the Shabura, that's also not beyond May Peros. It's all May Peros. If it's not water, it's May Peros. So, what's the status of the May Peros? So the Gemara tells us that May Peros is not machmetz. The Gemara dealt with this in several places. On Lamed Hayam and Aleph, the Gemara told us that Isa Sheni Lusha B'Yayim Neshem Dvash Ein Chayavin Al Chimutza Kares. And then the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav told us, what's that? The Gemara on Lamed Vav told us, where is it? Hold on. Ein Loshin As Ha'Isa, you should not mix your Isa with Yayin, Shemen, and Dvash. Why? Isa Sheni Lo Shem B'Yayin, Shemen, and Dvash. Lo, why not? Because, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a chisaron of lechem oni. Then the Gemara went on to say there's a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. What happens if you did that? Ein losh in Isa B'Pesach B'Yayin, Shemen, and Dvash. V'im losh, in losh, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Tisarif Miyad, V'Chachamim Omerim Yochal. So Rashi here on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph says, what do we mean when we say that May Peros Ein Machmitzin? We mean that if you have fruit juice and wheat flour, it doesn't create Chametz Gamor, it creates Chametz Nuksha. What about May Peros with water? So it's a machlokas whether Rashi thinks this is a Chiv Karis or not. But May Peros Greda, according to Rashi, creates Chametz Nuksha. Tosfos has a problem with this from the case of the Chatz V'Dav Shuna that we quoted later on, as well as the Gemara on, that was on Mem, and the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Tesamid Beis, where the Gemara says, don't use Vesika. The Gemara says, why not? We have a tradition of Vesika as Mutter. Why does it say Vesika as Aser? Lo kasha, ha da avde b'mishcha u'milcha, ha da avde b'maya u'milcha. Mishcha u'milcha, no problem, you can make Vesika. So, I don't think I know what Vesika is. Rashi just says it's a machal kemach. Anybody here ever eat Vesika on Pesach? No idea what it is. But Tosfos says it's flour with oil. So isn't that meperos with flour? So this is very difficult. These two Gemaras are difficult for Rashi. So the Note of Yehuda in the long tshuva that was on the Mar Makomos, the Note of Yehuda says, I'll get out of this problem for Rashi. And he says that, and it's interesting, I don't remember if he quotes this. The Rashi is Lamed Vav, right? Lamed Hayim
and Beis. And then on Lamed Vav, where he says that.
He spells it out, exactly.
Lamed Hayim and Aleph towards the bottom, and then Lamed Vav and Aleph, where he spells out how to put the two words together.
So the Note of Yehuda says that he's discussing a different context before he deals with this. He's talking about Erev Pesach, which we'll get to in 1 second. But he says that according to Rashi, Chametz Nuksha is only Aser Midrabanan. We had a big machlokas about this earlier in the year. What is the din of Taruvas Chametz and what's the din of Chametz Nuksha? And whether Chametz Nuksha is Aser Midaraisa or Aser Midrabanan. For sure doesn't have curries. But he says, according to Rashi, it's only Midrabanan. So he says that's the pshat in the case of the Kimcha de Ifshuna, because he says the case of the Kimcha de Ifshuna is a suffix. Maybe some juice or some liquid was extruded from there somehow. It's a Sfeika de Rabbanon and a suffix de Rabbanon you could be makel. And it's interesting that, I don't remember if he quotes it, but the Prichadash here says the same thing for Rashi, that the Chametz Nuksha, according to Rashi, is only Midrabanan.
Right. The Prichadash, he spends more time on it, so you get the Nachos, not the question you brought up.
Right. So that's how the Note of Yehuda goes in that approach to deal with Rashi, and the Note of Yehuda has an important nafkamina from this Chiddush, which is, if we're saying now that according to Rashi, Meperos Greda is Chametz Nuksha, but Chametz Nuksha is only Aser Midrabanan, the point of the Note of Yehuda is to say that would not be Aser on Erev Pesach. He says, the point of the Tshuva, the earlier section, is to figure out which elements of the Isurim of Pesach are carried over to Erev Pesach. So he says, it only makes sense to carry it over if it's an Issa D'Oraisa. But if it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, so therefore, according to the Note of Yehuda, he thinks that there's nothing wrong with eating matzah ashira on Erev Pesach.
There are definitely Darabanan chametz that are aser Erev Pesach. That's chiti kur d'naisa.
He also discusses chiti kur d'naisa as to whether or not it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the first part of the tshuva. That's the long part of the tshuva. So now, here, you ready for this? So he says, I don't understand why the Rama writes in Tuf Mem Dalad Ube Medinas Elu She'ein Noagin Lechol Matzah Ashira Ked Lekamon Simen Tuf Samach Beis Sif Dalad Bahaga Yikayim Suda Shlishis Bemine Peros O Basar V'Dogim Kedila El. When you have Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, the Rama says you should have Shalashudis with fruit or fish or meat. So says the Note of Yehuda, he says, I don't understand. You should have matzah ashira, not a problem. So most understand that this is a machlokas between the Note of Yehuda and the Rama. But Rav Shechter has a different shot. Rav Shechter assumes that what the Rama says is meant to be taken literally, which is, ubemedinos elu she'ein noagin lechol matzah ashira in general. So therefore, the matzah bakeries don't bake matzah ashira.
I mean, this guy's already know that.
So Rav Shechter assumes la halacha that the Rama agrees actually to the note of Yehuda that it should be mutter to eat matzah shiur on Erev Pesach. It just happens to be that people don't bake it. So that's why I heard from Shechter that he thought that the Rama would agree that it's mutter to eat matzah shiur on Erev Pesach. Yes.
Right last year, the interesting she did the Maral that you can have matzah shiur on Pesach.
We're going to get to that in a second. Right, we're going to get to in a second. We're going to get that in a little bit. We're going to get that in a little bit. Yeah. So this is all coming from the same note of Yehuda's Lamdas that Matzah Ashira, the May Peros, is only Nuksha according to Rashi, Midrabanan, that Nuksha is only Midrabanan, therefore shouldn't apply on Erev Pesach. Awesome. What does Rabbi Nutam say? The Rabbi Nutam says, Kenesh Zagan, you cannot say like Rashi that the May Peros Greda is Asra as Hametz Nuksha. No, May Peros Greda, Heter Gomor Ein Machmitzin Klal. That's Rabbi Nutam. If it's May Peros Im Mayim, then it's Chametz Nuksha. So now, one important ha'ara to make is that if you look in that Torah, in the Torah's Chesed, in the Tshuva of the Torah's Chesed that was on the Maror Mekomos, Torah's Chesed makes a point. He says, this is all true if you have Rov May Peros. But if you have Rov Mayim, he thinks that that is Chametz Gomor. Chametz Gomor.
Might be able to
sit
on an airplane and write those
mazonos,
but
Chametz Gomor. Right, exactly. It's going to be Chametz Gomor.
See, for a second, for a chapter, in the previous sermon, it seemed like a lot of the
baking matzos happening at home, not in the bakery.
Right.
So, why wouldn't Rabbi just tell people to...
So, Rav Shechter said one time, maybe it's not the only way he answered that question, he said one time that... to make matzah ashira or pesach for just shal shudas, that's a shasim chag. Like that's a big deal. To make matzah for just one. That I heard him say that once. I don't know if that's the only way he ever addressed this question. Maybe he did think that it was big bakeries or whatever, but I did hear him say that at that point.
It's so difficult to.
Nowadays, everything is so easy. You go to the store and you want that matzah, this matzah, that matzah, the other matzah. But.
Right, alternatively, there was a public policy issue that they told people, don't make egg matzah. Because you're not going to start telling them, well, if it's a year where it's Erev Shabbos, Shechal B'Shabbos, then no, as a matter of public policy, we told people, don't make egg matzah. Now, it's true. The Rambam says, if you have cholim and skenim, so okay, we can be makel for the cholim and skenim, but as a general rule, people weren't baking egg matzah. That, I think that's how I understood it. Notably, Yehuda did not understand it that way. Okay, so now we have this huge machlokas now between Rashi and Rabbi Nutam. According to Rashi, you are never allowed to make any matzah with May Peros at all. And according to the Rabbi Nutam, you can make matzah with May Peros as much as you want. And that's why when the Rama sat down for Shalosh Shudas on Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos, he enjoyed, and truth is, even in any other year, the Rama, the Rabbi Nutam, he used to eat Erev Pesach Matzah Ashira. Because he put May Peros Greda. That's what the Rabbi Nutam did. Now, what about just alone, just May Peros? What about, according to the Rabbi Nutam, what about May Peros with water? So Rabbi Nutam told us that creates Chametz Nuksha, which we said, well, that's a machlokas. Big machlokas, Tanoim Amoraim Rishonim, whether or not that's an Issa Daraisa or an Issa Drabanan. So, you're not allowed to eat Chametz Nuksha, but that only means that it can create Chametz Nuksha. If you mix water with flour, what would that create if you let it sit there for an hour? Chametz Gomor. But you're allowed to mix water with flour, right?
Yeah.
Just make sure it doesn't become chametz. So what about this May Peros? So we have machlokas the Gemara. One opinion is that this May Peros is going to be so excited to become chametz because there's water in there. You have this shidduch between the water and the May Peros. It's going to be super speedy chametz. Ad kedei kach that there's no way to prevent it from becoming chametz, no matter how quickly you move. And that's the Sheet of Rambam Gamliel that we saw. Whereas the Chachamim said, no, that's not true. It's not definitionally automatically going to become chametz. It's not Yisarf Miyad, it's Yof Miyad. Bake it, but you could supervise it. So now we saw further machlokas in the Gemara within the Sheet of the Chachamim, is that advisable or not? And the Gemara broke it down between Kituf and Lisha. So on one extreme, you had the Chachamim who said, not allowed to do Kituf, and you're certainly not allowed to do Lisha. And on the other hand, we had Rabbi Akiva, and we had the Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who said that you're allowed to do both. You're just going to supervise it. And we're not chushish that it's going to be super memar lahachmetz. Again, Shua, this is mei peros and water, whether it should be done l'chatchila. Okay? So that was the machlokas. So we saw this was a machlokas. How do we pass on this? This was a machlokas between the Rif, who was Mekel, like Rabbi Akiva, and the Rosh, who was Machmir, like the Chachamim. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam said, like the Rif, that it's Mutal Chatchila, like Tosas, that Meipers is not Machmir at all. And yes, exactly. Now, when you look carefully at the Rambam, which we're not going to focus on so much because it's not so much Alibid Hilchasa, but how could we not observe the fact that the Rambam seems to say that there are two different dinim here. There's one din of Mei Peros, which the Rambam is discussing
in Perkei,
and then there is a separate din, which is a din of Matzah Ashira, which the Rambam is discussing in Perk Vav. That's why the Rambam has two different lists. The Rambam thinks that when it comes to Mei Peros, pomegranate juice qualifies, but pomegranate juice does not qualify for matzah ashira. Why does it not qualify for matzah ashira? Maybe because it's not one of the Zayin Mashkim, and you only have chashivas of matzah ashira for Zayin Mashkim, or maybe because it's abnormal, and because it's abnormal, it doesn't have chashivas. But one way or the other, the Rambam thinks that that is the criterion, this chashivas is the criterion for matzah ashira. So, nafkamina would be, according to the Rambam, if you have Mei Peros, which was apple juice, with your flour, so then it's not matzah shira, and you could be yotzi with that matzah, which is what the Rambam says expressly. What about the fact that the Gemara says,
but it's not part of the Mei Peros,
because it's Mei Peros, but it's not matzah shira. What, and the reverse nafkamina would be, therefore, that the Rambam would say, this is what you were alluding to before, Menachem, that you would not be allowed to eat that on Erev Pesach. What will the Rambam say about the fact that it requires a davar habali dechimos? And this is not machmitz at all. The Rambam said that in the book. So the Lecha Mishnah answers, and this is a very fundamental answer, the Lecha Mishnah answers is that, theoretically, this flour could be bali dechimos. It just happens to be that by putting in mei peros and not water, it's not bali dechimas, but categorically it is bali dechimas, which comes out to be a very interesting hagdara, kind of a narrow constructionalist view of bali dechimas, which is focusing primarily on the grain. It's about the grain, whether this grain is bali dechimas, not so much about the mixture or the way that it was cooked. But either way, this Rambam, L'chora, perhaps, can explain the Shita of the Maharal quoted by the Magen Avraham. Right? Because the Magen Avraham quoted from the Maharal, who said, you're not allowed to eat matzah ashira on Erev Pesach. So why not allowed to eat matzah ashira on Erev Pesach? So L'chora, based on the Rambam, you can understand why that Shita should exist. Because for the Rambam, there are two deos, two dinim, two aspects. There's a din of what's called chametz and what's called matzah. And then there's a separate din called matzah shir lechemoni. Akedekach, they're so different that they have two different hagdaras for purposes of meperus. Meperus versus, you know, mayim is one hagdara, because that's for what's called chametz, what's called matzah, what's called bread, and matzah shira, second din. Once you could pull those two dinim apart, so you could argue, similar to what we said from the Kashuk Lover about the din of Shmura, that there's also this two dinim for the basic kiyum of matzah. Our assumption until now, the basic assumption, like the Magen Avraham is that if you have matzah shira, since you cannot be yotzei your mitzvah on Leil Pesach, you can eat it on Erev Pesach. L'chora, what the Maharal is saying is that you look at the Rambam and you say these are two different dinim. There's a din of matzah shira, which is precluded by the requirement for lechem oni, but lechem oni is a separate din than the mitzvah of erev tochel matzos. And so, in a pinch, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person was in such an emergent circumstance that the only matzah that they had was matzah shira,
the only matzah they could eat is matzah shira because they're
whatever. So then they should eat the matzah and they should make a bracha. They should make the bracha of alachilas matzah. Because even though you can't be yotze the din of lechem oni, you can be yotze the din of alachilas matzah. Right? L'chor, that's exactly what the Maharal is trying to say, and it fits with this chiluk of the Rambam. I think. No?
I think so too. Did you get a chance to see the whole Pichadas inside?
I think I probably skimmed through the bulk of it.
He brings up another layer. Noach and I were really into this. I was really into it. Just kind of imposed.
I don't want him to speak for you. Were you also into it, or not so much?
I know.
Find it.
That matzah that with Nefiros is also a chisaron of Shmartam as the matzah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, right. So I did see some of the achronim are dealing with that question. How could you have Shmira, I think the Notabihu dealt with that also. Many of the Achronim dealt with that question. Why is that not a chisaron of Shmira?
Well, the Cheshire said it is a chisaron of Shmira, but yeah.
Yeah. So I think some say the same point about the... Is that the same? I saw people deal with this, but I'm trying to remember, blanking out the top of my head. I think if you invoke the Lecha Mishnah, you can also address that point and say that the fact that this particular wheat is never going to become chametz because you didn't put water in there doesn't mean that it doesn't potentially have the possibility to become chametz, and therefore it also has the din of Shmura. I think that's what I saw. I forget who saw it. Dealt with the same issue. Okay. Good? Okay, so now, according to the Tosfos, Mei Perus Greda is mutter heter gamur. But if you have Mei Perus with water, so Tosfos said that's chametz nuksha. The Torah's Chesed said if it's rov mayim it's chametz gamur, and the Prichadosh argued that according to the Rambam, the Mei Perus with water is chametz gamur. Well, how much water is in here? So, how much water and how much mei peros? So, if you look in the Stechemed, in that essay that was on the Mar Makomos, I think it was Klal. I wrote it down. Mareches chametz umatzah simen yud gimel os yud. So he has a long discussion about this issue about the proportion of water and mei peros, if they are the same or if they are different. Meaning, let's say you have a tiny drop of mei peros and you have a tiny drop of water. Are the dinim the same? So he quotes about Chalukas Achronim. Let's start with the first side, the mei peros. So let's say you have just a tiny bit of mei peros and it falls into your water. Could happen. Ken sign. So the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Aleph says, I'm not sure. Tzarchin. Tiny drop of mei peros. Do you have to worry that it's going to be machmetz? And the Pribu Gadim says, I'm not sure how much is ma'at. So comes the Chok Yaakov, and he says it's shishim. If it's less than shishim, then you don't have to worry. You're going to say that the May Paris, you don't have to worry. Magen Avraham says, I'm not sure. Prima Gadim says, I'm not sure how much is a little. So Chok Yaakov comes and says, a little is less than shishim, and the Stechemed picks this up, and he points out that it might be true for the Mei Peros, but many Achronim point out that it's not true for the Mayim. Because you get the impression in the Shulchan Aruch that if a little bit of water fell in there, that's going to be a bigger problem. What case was that? That was the case of the water that fell on the grapes. So Shulchan Aruch said, don't worry about the water that fell on the grapes, it got mixed in. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But why do you have to worry if it got mixed in? A tiny bit of water, how much could there possibly be? So the Stechemed points out, he says, you see, from if you put this Magen Avraham together with the Chok Yaakov and the Shulchan Aruch, you see that we have to be more machmir on mei peiros with water when it's a tiny bit of water more than it is a tiny bit of mei peiros. So I was trying to think about what the issue is there. So I'm assuming that the point is that you hear the question. What am I asking?
Why should it be? The Gemara Menachos is the rhyme for this because you're making the milchat tzachon, which is it's totally oil.
With
it's like a little bit of water, and then that's like more. So that's a rhyme that I'm not sure which make of the distinction. But
right. So the question is, what's the logic? Why should it be that when you talk about a mixture of mei peiros and mayim, when you have this mixture, the proportion of a tiny drop of mei peiros, that you're not choshesh that there's going to be chibutz, but a tiny drop of water, you are choshesh. So I'm wondering if the point is that the acidity, the unique quality of the mei peiros, whatever that is, that's going to generate this added concern for chimutz. So if you have a tiny bit, so then it's batel. But if you have a lot, the minute that you have water, water opens the path for chimutz, and then you have to worry about it. I don't know.
I think about like different flavor apples that are out there. Like,
right, the very bland ones versus the very sharp ones. I don't know. So I don't have a good hesper for this, but it is noteworthy, and the Stechemid points out that it sounds like the majority of the Achronim thinks that these are different. No, it sounds like he was saying that it's insignificant. It's not going to be considered mei peiros at all. It's batel. It's batel als mei peiros.
Anyone say anything about shiur b'arei?
I don't know. I didn't see. We'll get back to the tzitzis in a second. So, lemaisa, how are we going to paskin on this question? Rashi versus Tosfos. So, the Shulchan Aruch, following the Rav Yah and the Rashi and the Tshuva, and the Pri Chodesh points out this was the minig always, and in the Berkei Yosef he says every Sephardic congregation, I don't know if you saw the Berkei Yosef, he says Chazak, all the Sephardim, the Maran, Rashba, Tosfos, they're all in, she does Tosfos, period. That may pair us alone, not a problem. The Ramah, however, is machmir, unless the Ramah says you are in the category of a chola or a zakein. Interestingly, Rav Avadya in a tshuva, he has two tshuvas on this, one in Yechavadas, one in Yabi Omer. Rav Avadya suggests that ketanim shelo yigia lechinuch are also included in this category.
Of
chola and zakein. Yeah, for Ashkenazim. So let's say you have a little gingala, he's, I don't know, 2.5 years old. This is lo gil lechinuch, right? I don't think he's a gil lechinuch, right?
You could say the manishtana, basically.
I don't think he's a gil lechinuch. I think he could say the manishtana in Swahili and think it's the same thing. So Rav Avadya says the Ashkenazim could give that kid also. So why is the Rama machmir? So it's interesting. If you look in the Gra, the Gon does not quote that strange sheet of the Chok Yaakov that we're machmir for Das Abaye that one day in the Yerushalmi. No. The Gaon says, you know why we're machmir? For two reasons. Number one, we're worried maybe a little bit of water got mixed in there. And as we said earlier, a little bit of water can do a lot of damage. And the second one is, the Ramah is machmir for Shitas Rashi. So Rav Avadya points out, even though it's true, Rov Binyan of the Rishonim are in the school of Tosfos, but the Ramah is machmer for Shitas Rashi, and the Gaon adds, there's also a concern, a practical concern, that maybe a little bit of water got mixed in there. Rav Avadya now has, okay, so this is the din. Sfardim, Mekel, like Berkei Yosef says, that's their minig, that's what they do, awesome. Rav Avadya, I think in one of those paragraphs in Yabiya Omer, he quotes, he heard there was some Sfardic Rav who was machmer for this, and of course, right, you cannot figure out what got into his head, what he was thinking. Never heard of such a thing. No one's machmir for this. Ah. So now Rav Avadya has a shaila.
You make matzah with the tam, but that's far as you're
So Rav Avadya has a shaila. Can you have a bakery bake matzah ashira cookies? that's the shaila in the Yaviyah Omer. In the Chavadas, it's can you be a Yarei Shamayim and sell matzah ashira cookies? Can you sell egg matzah? Maybe Ashkenazim are going to buy them. So Rav Avadya says, sure, you can make it and you can sell it. So he says, in the Yaviyah Omer, he says, you're going to make the cookies. So tell the Ashkenazim that it's you know, on the packaging. Say, it's la'ochle matzah ashira. Just to be modia to them. And then in the Chavadas, he goes further and he says, just put up a sign and say that this is for matzah ashira eaters. And he says, you don't have to inquisit the Ashkenazim who come in there. Not that we're going to profile anybody, but, you know, certain neighborhoods, some people stand out if they're from, the Ashkenazim and they're going into the Sephardic. They're going to the Sephardic bakery or vice versa.
It's funny, he's not saying the possibility that the Ramah would allow.
So why? So Ravaji says, I'll tell you why. Because, no. He says, because maybe the guy's buying it for a chola. Maybe he's buying it for a sucking. My baby's buying it for a kafan.
My wife Shul, there's one of my good friends married a redheaded Syrian.
All right. So he's sneaking in there. So Ravaji's point is, and then at the end, he says, in these Taliyahs, he gives you all the Maramakomas about when you could be Tola, that he says, you could sell it for them. As long as you're Modiyah to them, you're not violating Lifnei either. You give them the information, and you could sell it to them because they can use it for their Cholim, or their Zkenim, or their Ketanim.
And he would say that even if the Ramah thought that Ikra is in, you really paskin like the Ramah, or is he saying this because...
I remember hearing from Rav Silver that somebody said that if there's something is on a Cholim, it's poskin.
Okay, so this is also, he has another tshuva about this point. There is an interesting tshuva about this point. Rav Avadya has elsewhere. If it's lifnei iver, to give something to someone that they think is usur. So here, I think Rav Asher Weiss also has a tshuva on this. We are mechalek usually between, I'm trying to remember. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva on this. That difference between whether somebody thinks that it's usur medina versus that it's aser mitam minag. But either way, that's all in a case where you're not modia the person.
Right.
Right there, the case is, you come to my house, and I'm serving, you know, chasam sofer hashkacha, and you're machmir, you don't eat chasam sofer hashkacha, you only eat labavitch shchita. So I'm not telling you. But if I tell you, there's no lifnei iver. There's for sure no lifnei iver if I tell you.
There's for sure no lifnei iver if you don't say?
If I tell you. I tell you, this is the shechita that it is. It's your decision. You want to eat it or not. Right? The question comes up, what if I, can I ask, let's say I don't open bottles or cans of a certain kind, can I ask you to do that? So that's more like an Amira LeYisrael question, which the Rashba says is mutter, and then it's a question of, you know, am I nene from Malacha, if I'm considering that to be a malacha. But in this case, Rav Avadya would say, there's no lifnei iver, because I'm putting up a sign. I'm telling everybody, these are matzah ashira cookies. So if you're Ashkenazi, you know what to do. Okay, so just a couple of specific points that come up in the context of matzah ashira and the mei peros that are tricky lemaisa. Mei tzimukim. So this is a big machlokas. But the Magen Avraham and Sivkat and Vav sounds like he's going to be Mekel. If you have raisin wine, the wine transforms the taste of the water. And therefore, the water is no longer water. It's now called Mei Tzimukim. That's Aleph. So this brings us to Beis, which is this big brouhaha in the Achronim, how to resolve the seeming contradiction between the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel and the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Vav. In Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch told us, don't worry, if you have wine, you don't have to worry about it, it got mixed in. And yet, in Sif Vav, Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a chita that was nimseis bedvash, it's mutter, ubovach lo desar behemayim. Sounds like if you had a drop of water that got mixed in there, so you have a huge problem. So how do you resolve Sif Gimel and Sif Vav? So the Chok Yaakov comes along and he says, I don't know why everybody's so upset about this. It's not a big deal. In Sif Gimel, you are aware that there's water in there
And so you're going to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. In Siv Vav, we're talking about a case of a chita that was just sitting around. So it became chametz without your paying attention to it. That's how he addresses it. But the Magen Avraham has a different answer, and it's similar to this concept that Meitz Simukim demonstrated to us. Magen Avraham says, he quotes from the Knesset HaGedolah, he says, you know what the case is in Sif Gimel? The case is not where it got mixed in, although it's not so clear that this is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. It's hard to read in the Shulchan Aruch. But this is what he claims. It got mixed in before Tesisa. It's not exactly what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. But this is what the Knesset HaGedolah says, this is what Magen Avraham says, and the matter of the principle is that what happens in Tesisa? Tesisa is where the wine bubbles up and it starts to ferment. So the fermentation process transforms the water. So, says the Magen Avraham, that's what's happening in Meitz Simukim, that's what's happening in Sif Gimel, and that's the difference between Sif Gimel and Sif Vav. Magen Avraham says now, therefore, I have a nafkamina from this pshat. If this is true, anytime you have a tesisa-like process, you should then also consider the mind to be batal. So he talks about mead. He says, maybe you should say that mead is also. Or water that got mixed into yash. So we talk about the shlivovitz, kashel pesach, schnapps. So this is a second important point, which is that according to the Magen Avraham, anytime you have water that got mixed in before the fermentation process happened, that water is absolutely going to be batal. Now, the Chok Yaakov is much more mekel. Chok Yaakov says, it doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually doesn't sound like that at all. He says, Hol Kfar Nisbatlu Amayim B'Yayin Kodem Shaloshu Ha'isa. Sounds like it really is Nisbatel. So, Chok Yaakov would say, I disagree with this whole idea that a little bit of water is going to be a huge problem, and you just watch it, make sure. Okay. One last point that comes up here, which has ramifications elsewhere, and you alluded to it in the oat discussion, is that Rabbi Kiva Eger here in the Hagos on the bottom has a suffix. What's the story if you had May Peros, which were Nisyabshu? So you have kernels, you have wheat, you have flour, and May Peros got mixed into them.
Which
Rabbi Kiva? I don't have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me with Rabbi Kiva Eger. But he's mistopic in this case. You have wheat kernels, and you had May Peros that fell on them.
I found.
But then it dried out, and then the water came on. Is the pshat that May Peros with Mayim is machmitz, and maybe even memar lahachmitz, because it's the presence of the current combination of water and May Peros which hastens or creates the chimutz? Or no, even a trace, a residual effect of May Peros on this will lend it to further chimutz development once water goes on it. That's the suffix in Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Bir Halacha, it sounds like from the Magen Avraham in Sifkat Vav, he makes a side comment where he sounds like he's Mekel, and the Bir Halacha says that we can be Mekel on this B'Shas Adchak. Where did this come up? What's the nafkamina of this? This was the oat matzah question. Because how did they deal with the oats? One of the processes that I saw in the article is that they dry out the oats, and when they do that, they're extracting moisture, and it's in a drum, and one little otala is gonna schwitz out the oat water, the oat liquid, to the next neighboring otala. Did you see that? I saw that one
I
of the.
I saw that in the context of their concern. I mean, now the oat can't become peanuts anymore.
Right, but then I saw further concern about this: that when you put it in the drum and you are drying it out, you're extracting the water. The liquid, we're not going to call it water, the liquid from this oat kernel, and it touches the next oat kernel. So when it's in the drum, it's all May Peros. And then they dry it out. So now this sack of oats is all balua with May Peros. It's the original Kim Chadiv Shuna case on Daf Mem.
Do they dry it out? Does it become like a powder? Or they dry
No, they just dry it out. They just dry it out and evaporates.
that's not the same as a Rebbe Kivager Shiloh.
That is the Shiloh of Rebbe Kivager.
It is Shiloh. It's more concentrated. You have a powder and you mix the water.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The May pears are dried out. So in the case of the oats, where they put it in this drum and they dry it out, they're drying it out after the oats schwitzed on each other. So that's the suffix of Rebbe Kivager in this din. So the Bir Halacha says, it sounds like from the Magen Avraham we're Mekel, the Bir Halacha says, B'shas Atak, we're going to be Mekel. So lechor, for the people who are eating oat matzah because they really need to eat oat matzah, you can be Mekel on this Shiloh. And the Boli Dechimot Shiloh, you're going to be Mekel like the Rambam. Right. But that, but it's the same, that's the question that came up over here. So to summarize, we had the original machlokas in the Amoraim, is May Peros Machmitz or not. We then had the major machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam as to whether or not May Peros Greda is Machmitz for Chometz Duksha, even though we pass it's not Machmitz all the way. We had the Shulchan Aruch and the Sfardim following the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam and the Rif. We had the machlokas between the Rashi and the Rif about May Peros Im Mai, whether they're allowed to do that L'chatchila. We had the two deis, right, the two deis on the matzah ashira erev Pesach being totally on this question related to the Rambam of what's the nature of matzah ashira on Leil Pesach. We had the question of the proportion of mayim and mei peros in both directions. We had the question of selling it, and then a couple of these last other specific, you know, halacha lemaisa ramifications of this mei peros. Anything else we should raise in this issue? That's all she wrote, at least for today. All right. Shkoyach.